July 25th, 2005, item number 67. Today's guests are Seth and Tad from the Roanoke Times podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. Before we get into our interview with Seth and Tad, a couple quick news and notes. First, I mentioned previously that I was playing poker, and I also mentioned Phil Gordon's poker podcast. I listened to all his podcasts last week, and I went in Saturday and played at the poker tournament. And mind you, in the past, I only once in his three-hour tournaments made it past an hour. Most times I was out in half an hour, and my goal used to be not to be the first person out on the table. After listening to all his podcasts, a field of 14 tables, 120 people, I came in third place and had a chance to really win it. I lost to the person that won it with an ace nine to their queen seven. So with a better flop, I would have won the tournament. Phil Gordon understands podcasting. Even if you're not into poker, his podcast is really worth listening to. It's great to hear him going around interviewing other poker tournament players that you've seen on TV and going up to them saying, hey, can I interview for this podcast? Can I interview for this podcast? He gets podcasting more than anybody else in the big media that I've heard do a podcast. So, Phil, thank you for all your help. I had a blast. No longer am I thinking about how am I going to be not the first one out, but now I'm thinking about being on the final table. That's my goal every time I play now. There'll be a link to Phil Gordon's podcast in the show notes. And as always, show notes can be found at podcast411.com. We're going to go ahead and play a question that came in via email.
Hi, Rob. My name is Israel Hyman. I run the Idle Minds podcast at idlemindspodcast.com. And the reason I'm leaving you this message is a couple things. You're obviously a huge resource on podcasting. I listen to every single one of your episodes, and I absolutely love them. You're doing great work.
Okay. Let me break in here for a second. Did you see what Israel did? First, he introduced his name, then his podcast, and then major gratuitous butt-kissing of the host. Excellent execution, Israel. This is how you get your promos played on other people's podcasts.
And what I'm trying to do personally now is get the recording responsibility off of my computer and onto some sort of a device. And I've noticed that there are, you know, different types of electronic recording devices or digital recording devices out there. And I wanted to get an idea from you on what you would recommend. So I was hoping you might be able to recommend something maybe in the mid-range, something in the low range, something in the high range. I'm not sure exactly how much money I'm willing to commit towards this part of the setup, but I wanted to get some recommendations from you because it's pretty obvious to me that you, like I said, you know exactly what you're talking about. So if you could maybe say something on one of your episodes about that, that'd be great.
Israel, thank you for the ego boost and the question. On the low range, recording outside the computer, I would recommend the IFP 890 series or 790 series, whichever one's available to you, really the same machine, just packaged a little differently. For a 256 meg version, you can find it in the $80 to $100 price range, depending on where you look online. For the 1 gig version, you can get it for between $160 to $190. The recording quality is going to be the same. So I would say in the low range, for anywhere between $100 and $190, the IFP 890 series. Mid-range. Now we're going to be talking in the $450 price range. I would be looking at the Eterol R1, especially if all you're going to be doing is a non-mobile recording environment where you're just taking everything out. You already have a mixer and phantom power for your mics. Then the Eterol R1 is a great device to use. It's $450, 24-bit recording. If you don't have to go mobile, that is a great device to have. It's really as good as anything else you're going to go up till you get above $1,000. Now, between $500 and $1,000, if you have to be mobile, then what I would suggest is going with the Marantz PMD 670 series. If you're on the lower end of that $500 to $1,000 range for a mobile recording, and the 671 if you're willing to spend the $1,000. The 671 is 24-bit versus the 670, which is 16-bit, so you're going to get a little bit better recording. What those two devices give you is XLR jacks with phantom power, so you can power the good condenser microphone. So if you need to be portable and have the best recording sound, then the Marantz on the high end is the way to go. If you want a really good sound and you're not going to be portable, then the Eterol R1 is the best way to go. And the price difference is you can get two R1s for the price of one 671 from Marantz. There you go. Hope that answered your question. And thank you for sending in the question, Israel. Well, that's going to do it for us we're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Seth and Ted. First, we'll play their promo and then get right into the interview. Here we go.
Howdy, folks. This is Scott Perry from Floyd County, Virginia. You know, whenever I'm done milking the chickens and got the generator fired up down at the old homestead, I like to get online and surf the podcast at insideout.roanoke.com.
Seth and Ted, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, I always ask an odd first question, and that is, what was your first computer?
It was one of those little Mac classics, and it wasn't even mine. It was a computer I had at college. On the staff of the school newspaper, they were lying around all over the place, and it was that little tiny kind of lunchbox-looking Mac that I haven't seen in years, except the other night I was watching an episode of Seinfeld from, like, the first season, and he had one sitting on his table, and my wife and I laughed about that.
I had an Apple IIe. My mother had it, and my brother had it. It had the big discs and the green screen and Castle Wolfenstein. I think that was the only thing I did on it back then. So,
yeah, Castle Wolfenstein seems to be a popular one people mention.
Well, you could actually, it was the first time you could go in and actually blow things up. You could blow up a whole wall, mm-hmm. grenades, and move people around. It was exciting. It was kind of beyond asteroids.
It was a precursor to Doom, really.
Definitely. Definitely precursor to Doom. It didn't have the 5.1 surround sound, but, you know, you do what you got to do back in those days, of course.
I think by the time those came out, I was out traveling the road playing different bars and never really had a video game around. It's usually just the arcade games and pool tables and stuff.
So what you're saying is you had a girlfriend. Thanks.
Yeah.
Tad's got some years on me. I think he used to be a drummer, I think, that's got him into the more the entertainment side of podcasting.
Oh, then I should have made that plural. Girlfriends.
He does have a wife at home. I think he wants to hold back.
I don't know. She's already beaten up on me enough over all the girlfriends from the past.
Let's talk about podcasts a little bit. What was the first podcast you both listened to, or either of you listened to?
I bet Seth listened to something different, but the first one I listened to was ours. Seth, he's like really on top of things, and you'll have to ask him where he gets all his insane knowledge and how he stays on the cutting edge. But he just came up to me one day. You know, I had just recently become the online editor of our Entertainment Weekly here at the Roanoke Times, and he walked up to me and said, "Okay, you want to do a podcast for Inside Out?" I said, sure, without really knowing much of what it was, but it made sense. You know, a lot of people say, what's a podcast? But I knew that, you know, a pod was an iPod and that a broadcast is a broadcast, and you sort of combine those two things. And we went and we cut something just spur of the moment, just to run it by our editors with my guitar teacher. So it was, immediately a conflict of interest. But we knew this was somebody, you know, we could put on and he was not going to screw up because I'd heard him play enough. And so we could actually have a thing that was real that we could present to the editors. And so that was the first one I heard. What about you, Seth?
The first one I heard was actually the Ventura County Star. Ventura County Star used to have a podcast that ran daily, 5 days a week. Then they had a weekend podcast. One of our former reporters, Zeke Barlow, he went out to the Ventura County Star. And once he did that, I started checking out their site and started seeing that they had some pretty cool multimedia offerings. So once that happened, I was like, well, let me check out what they're doing, this podcast stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I can do that. What I did was I basically kind of tagged on a mix onto one of these budgets to send out for something else. Got a mixer out of it, and we already had Adobe Audition, and we pumped
everything. He's running for Congress next term. He knows how to add on. He's our port barrel multimedia editor.
We got a bunch of microphones and some video gear for a thought process is that we're going to be doing a daily new video newscast in the short time, in the short future. To make us roll up to that point, this podcasting is going to take us there. So as far as figuring out daily news and how to make that print side available for the audio side, for the daily, for multimedia type of presentation. Ventura County Star was doing it. Since then, they have stopped. They got all the press in the beginning. And then I think Bruce McLean, their podcast person, he got promoted, as he told me, and then he had to stop because he didn't. Nobody else was really interested in doing it, which is something that I fear here is that, you know, I'm doing it and I'm getting everybody, but if nobody takes hold, what am I going to do? Someone else is going to have to take on. And It's a lot of work. I mean, there's a lot of papers doing it now. San Francisco Gate is doing it. Chronicle with the Gate, it's SF Gate, it's their website. They actually are in iTunes Music Store, and I just got our feed through into the iTunes Music Store. Denver Post is doing it. I think they even had a guy who, the kids, college kids doing it. They wake up in the morning, and the first thing they do is they do a daily podcast of reading the daily day's news. And it's like the guy just waking up, and it sounds pretty funny. And they just got a feed going, and they're making some serious headway. They're making a lot of press.
What is it that you're trying to present with the format of your podcast? What are you trying to get out to the listener and the subscriber base?
I think the key thing that we want to show people, and this was the sort of the guiding principle for the publication before there was even thought of a podcast, was that we want to show people that there's stuff to do in our region of the country they may not have known about. We're trying to shine lights on all kinds of different entertainment ideas and venues. And the first thing that I thought of when Seth mentioned the podcast was, oh, this is a great opportunity to bring in musicians of all different sorts. And, you know, we've had acoustic blues players. We've had hip-hop acts. We've had we've had electric bands, but we don't have really the facilities at this point to record them live. That's something that's on Seth's and my wish list for you know, way down the road.
Actually, the paper is going to be building in about maybe the next 2 months or so. We're actually going through the budget process now of actually building a recording studio for this type of stuff, for audio and for video. Really making a video suite and then having on one side being of the video computers and audio, and then do digital capture from the other side. So having like a talk show radio style type of place. So we can bring in maybe members of the community, maybe bring in a bluegrass band. Right now we've been putting a lot of people in, like a Tag calls it the hovel of the night. It's like a room, maybe it fits like three people. We fit like seven people in there one time. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it starts to smell a little funky. That's mostly Seth's fault, but he's a good man, so I'm not going to give him too much of a difficulty about that. And even with our new studio, whether we'll be able to get in the loud, raucous rock band and be able to record them is kind of an unknown, but they can bring in their MP3 or CDs, and we're able to patch those into the cast and give people a good idea of what kind of entertainment, what kind of musicians are out there in the area, and we've been enjoying that a whole lot. And I think not only have we gotten some pretty good response from our users at Roanoke.com and Inside Out, but I think we've gotten a good response from the bands. They feel like, oh, there's somebody out here, you know, who really wants to, you know, have something to do with the music community and wants to direct people toward what's happening out there.
Based on the fact that you're building a studio in there for both podcasting and videocasting, do you think this is going to be something that all newspapers are going to be moving towards?
I see it as a thing that some newspapers will be moving towards. I see that some newspapers don't have the foresight to see that. I think the editor here has the foresight to see the future, as in what online can do for a newspaper. Declining readership is happening to all newspapers around the country. People are turning toward the internet for all their news. The Roanoke Times needs to stay in there and stay up and with the times as to what it can do and what it can provide for its readers and its listeners and what could be now its viewers. Keeping up on this technology is a big thing. You know, right now maybe podcasting's the woohoo or whatever, and maybe video will be the next, and someone else will think of something in the future that'll be even cooler. And that's my job to figure out how the Roanoke Times can fit into this. I mean, if we can figure out a way to get some ads on the podcast, we're up for it. You know, if we figure out a way to get some video ads on our website, we're up for it. It's really, there's a lot of back end stuff for programmers and content editors and figuring a way to get a daily newspaper, print newspaper online or into an audio video type of world that we really haven't thought of these things before. And other papers might have, but everybody's really just on the cusp of trying to figure all this out. And that's my role. And we have the guy that's doing our daily, not our daily newscast yet, our kind of, we do a newscast for the weekend, Dwayne Yancey, who is the assistant managing editor of content. He's kind of a vested interest in all of the news that goes on, and I was able to recruit him to kind of write the first script, and somehow I read it maybe 40 times, and I just didn't like the sound of my voice. So next thing what I did was I said, hey, can you read it? And he read it, and he's been recruited ever since. And there's people like Tad and Dwayne that are really helping me and the paper get to that next point in the audio-video world of multimedia with newspapers.
Carol Tarrant, who's our managing editor, both Mike, the executive editor, and Carol have placed this kind of stuff at the forefront. There's a lot of discussion out there in the world of newspaper observers and analysts about, you know, whether podcasting or other multimedia avenues are going to pan out in the end. But I think a lot of newspapers realize that they missed a great opportunity with blogging a few years back, and they don't want to, you know, be left behind when that train takes off again. So it's kind of good that we got some people with the guts to take a look at new avenues and give them a shot. And we're having such a good time with it that we don't really want to see this kind of thing come to an end. And we feel like they've had our back. And so right now, you know, we haven't quite figured out, you know, what kind of traffic we're getting, but we feel like instinctively it's probably pretty good. We're getting a lot of people telling us about it and telling us that they enjoy it, and that's all anecdotal stuff, but word of mouth is just as important now as it ever was, I think, and word of mouth includes email, so somebody can click on our page to listen to the podcast, and if they like that page, they can forward it to somebody, and it's just kind of, you know, we're hoping that that sort of stuff builds.
I find it amazing that people like Mike can Mike Riley, our editor, can walk through this hallway here where we're doing this podcast, and he can look in the windows into this office and, you know, trying to make faces at us or whatever. But I find it amazing when I have reporters do that. I have standard print people that maybe they go on online only to check email. They don't know much about the internet. And they can poke in and they can say, wow, that's pretty cool. Can I do that? Can I do that? Can I get in there? And I'm like, yeah, sure, come on. You know, so really what that turned along into was now we, for our Sunday package, Sunday's always the big day for newspapers for their stories. They can come on in and we can interview them about their story, and they could tell us how they found the story. Donna Banks, who's one of our reporters down at our New River Bureau, she actually did one of our first reporter podcasts, and I found it amazing. You didn't get it out of the story that she found the subject of her story at church. Just, you know, happened to hear something and boom, this, and it's turned out this guy is the sole, one of the two survivors of the Serpens Coast Guard sinking during World War II. And he lived in southwestern Virginia. And we went out and talked to him, and I went out and did a video on him. And Gene Dalton, one of our photographers, went and took pictures of him. It turned out Gene actually lived down the street from him for a long time from that area. So giving our viewers, getting our readers the opportunities to get the behind-the-scenes information about the stories is a plus to podcasting for newspapers.
I think just the same way that people like to see their photos in the paper, they like to hear their neighbors' voices and feel like they're represented in the paper. And this is another really good way to do that through all kinds of multimedia, not just podcasting. And you're right about the voice. We're kind of, you know, Seth kind of kids me about being the voice of the Roanoke Times, which is really a sad state of affairs if it's true. But frankly, we bring in bands that have friends, go out to hear their shows. They listen to me talking to their favorite bands. It's just kind of a way to get closer to your audience in a way that is more difficult to do by email or by just reading the paper and writing a letter to the editor. It's a little more personal. I think you're right on that.
This is just the start of a more community involvement for daily newspapering.
For any other newspapers or traditional print media out there, what advice would you offer to them if they were looking at getting into podcasting?
It's very easy. Anybody can do it. All you need is a laptop, a microphone, and a mixer actually helps things out. But anybody can do it. I mean, I go to these, you search podcast and blog on Google, and it comes up all these sites of people telling exactly what to do. I was thinking about starting my own blog where I would just tell people about the heartaches I've been having with trying to do video and audio and whatever, and just have my face up there saying, all right, today I had a huge software malfunction. But, you know, I have been having those heartaches, and some other people, I'm sure they have too. But as far as podcasting, like, for example, when I first started podcasting, I had a problem with enclosures. I didn't know what an enclosure was. What I did was I grabbed a feed from somebody else and changed it over to be my own. And then I popped the stuff up there. And obviously, I grabbed a bad feed because I didn't have any enclosures. And so people kept saying, well, your enclosures are all off. What I did was I think I went to your site, found Feed for All, downloaded that, and it's been great. You know, I've had no problems. So podcasting is really not that hard. You just need to definitely read a tutorial from, I think you have a lot of good tutorials, and I think some other folks do too. And that'll get you going. But anybody can do it. I mean, if you can do it with a free program, Audacity or whatever, you know, that's it's free. You know, get going.
Where can the listeners to this podcast find your podcast?
They can find our entertainment podcast at insideout.roanoke.com. And the podcast archive will be located within the next several weeks at roanoke.com/podcast. And if they want to reach, check, you know, any information about our podcast, they can email me at podcast@roanoke.com. I thank you for the opportunity to come on the show. I think podcast is huge. I think it's really going to be big. And I think that if iPod or Apple ever comes out with a video pod, that'll be huge. That'll be even bigger. You know, I could even just take the audio off of that and use that as a pod, you know, or podcast or whatever. I mean, there's so much potential out there, and I'm really happy that this newspaper, the New York Times, has seen the future and is letting me try it out. It's kind of like a kid in a candy store.
It sounds like they're definitely more progressive in their thinking than most other papers out there.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's been nice talking with you.
Likewise. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Seth and Tad from the Roanoke Times newspaper podcast. As you can tell, if you listened to our podcast a week ago, that this newspaper has a slightly different outlook towards podcasting than, say, what the Wall Street Journal had. The Roanoke Times is definitely on the forefront in fully embracing podcasting from a regional point of view, where they're really using podcasts to help connect with their local audience. It was really refreshing talking with them and hearing their enthusiasm towards podcasting. So, Seth and Tad, thank you so much for coming on the show. Links to their podcast can be found in our show notes and on our front page at podcast411.com. If you have any questions or comments or tech tips you'd like to send in, please send them in to podcast411@gmail.com. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to be playing a promo from the Frat Pack podcast, so please stick around and listen to that. Until the next time, this is your host, Rob, from Podcast 411. As always, reminding you to listen different.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
This is Kevin Crossman from the Frat Pack Podcast. You know the Frat Pack, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, Owen Wilson, and Luke Wilson, all those guys in those comedy movies. Well, we cover it all on our podcast. News, reviews, and even a little Frat Pack music. Check out this track from Pianosaurus Rex, Luke Wilson Dance Party. So won't you join us? It's thefratpack.com, THE-FRAT-PACK.com.